We come today to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings 3, 1. Joram, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father and mother had done. He got rid of the sacred stone of Baal that his father had made. None of the northern kings were good people, but some were not quite as bad as others. Joram, for example, put a stop to the worship of Baal. I suppose, seeing the horrible end of King Ahab and Ahaziah, his predecessors, maybe jolted him into getting rid of Baal anyway. All people are sinners, but God does recognize different degrees of sinfulness. And Joram was bad, but not quite as bad as some others. Verse 3, nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. Joram did not stop the calf worship in his country, which was the sin of the north's first king, Jeroboam. And that's the sin that got idolatry going up there. Verse 4. Now Misha, king of Moab, raised sheep, and he had to supply the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs and with the wool of 100,000 rams. And now we know why chapter 1, verse 1, when we looked at that, said Moab rebelled against Israel. They had to pay tribute, and it was expensive, and they were tired of it. Verse 5. But after Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. Ahab had been a very strong, a very cruel ruler in Israel, so Moab waited until after he died before they tried to break away. Unlike Jesus, who endured unfairness and pain for our sake when he could have avoided it, most people avoid such things the first chance they get. And that's what Moab is attempting to do. 6. So at that time, King Joram set out from Samaria and mobilized all Israel. The king of Israel will fight to get back control of Moab. Sinful man loves to control others, whether by force or manipulation, in order to get what they want. Verse 7. He also sent this message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? I will go with you, he replied. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Jehoshaphat was willing to help the king of the north, probably because Moab was the south's enemy as well. And enemies often become allies to fight a common and more threatening enemy. Verse 8. By what route shall we attack? He asked. Through the desert of Edom, he answered. Going through Edom was not the shortest route to get to Moab, but it was probably the wisest. And that's because Edom was subject to Judah, the southern kingdom. Plus, Edom did not like Moab either, so they may even join in and help. Verse 9. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. The Israelite troops and Judah's troops and Edom's troops were all together. It was a huge force, which may have been why they ran out of supplies, ran short of water and such things as they needed. as they head for Moab. Verse 10, "What?" exclaimed the king of Israel. "Has the Lord called us three kings together, only to hand us over to Moab?" The two previous kings of Israel in the north, Ahab and Ahaziah, were ungodly men, and they died because of it. And Joram, the present king of the north, is ungodly as well, and consequently, he figures the Lord has brought him and his allies into the wilderness to destroy them. This is that the Lord destroyed the two previous kings of Israel because of their wickedness. Rebellion against God can make people very paranoid. Verse 11, "But Jehoshaphat asked, 'Is there no prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord through him?' An officer of the king of Israel answered, 'Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah.' Jehoshaphat, the king of the south, knew the Lord and served the Lord." So he wants a prophet of God. Jehoshaphat no doubt is concerned, because they are running short of supplies. But rather than panic, he's going to seek God. If you are right with God, then looking to him in times of trouble will be as natural as breathing. 12. Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Jehoshaphat knew the Lord. Now, it may have made common sense for him to join forces with the kings of Israel and Edom, but he never should have done it, because Jehoshaphat knew the Lord, and those other kings did not know the Lord. And the Bible is very clear. It says that God's people should not be partners with those who do not serve God. 13. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." "No," the king of Israel answered, "because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab." Elisha says to the king of the north, "Go ask those golden calves that you worship. Go ask them. And go ask those golden calves that your fathers worship for help. Ask your so-called gods for help. You think they're so great when times are good. See how they work now that you are afraid and are in big trouble." 14. Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you." In other words, the prophet says, "I wouldn't bother to continue the conversation any longer if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. Joram, you're not worth talking to, you idol worshiper." But he will continue to talk, and he will seek God on their behalf, because of Jehoshaphat, the man of God. You know, godless people do not appreciate the good that God's people bring into this world, and how terrible this world would be without the presence of those who serve the Lord. 15. "But now bring me a harpist." And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. The prophet listens to godly music, I suppose, so that the frustration from seeing wicked Jehoram would go away, and so that he could focus on the Lord. God's people cannot hear the Lord and get direction from him and fellowship with him if they are always hurried, or if they're even too consumed with the bad things of this world. You got to slow down. You got to focus on God in order to hear from God. Verse 16. It says, "The word of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, 'This is what the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches.'" Now, God is leading. God is actually planning ahead, and he's actually answering prayer, even though I'm sure the three kings had no idea why God wanted them to dig ditches. They don't need ditches from their perspective. They need water. They need water bad. And God's answer is dig ditches. Well, he is answering their prayer. It's just that sometimes when God answers prayer, it does not seem like he is answering prayer. 17. For this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. How they will get their water, they do not know. And it doesn't matter. God will get them what they need. Excuse me. He will get them what they need. That is the important thing. How God gives us what we need is his business. We're just along for the ride anyway, you know. God is the one who's driving. Verse 18. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. Nothing is hard for God. Getting these three armies plenty of water when there is no water, that's an easy thing for God, the prophet says. Nothing is hard for God. He can produce water where there is no water with less effort than it takes for you to wish for water. Nothing is hard for God. He designed, he created, he sustains all of creation without even breaking a sweat. He does it every second of every day. Verse 19. You will overthrow every fortified city, every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. The Moabites were very bad sinners who did not even acknowledge the one true God. God is not commanding the three kings to do these things that are mentioned in verse 19. He's simply predicting that that's what they're going to do, and Moab deserved it all. 20. The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Bible says that God determines the boundaries of the waters, and he brought some water from the direction of Edom, and it doesn't say it's storm or rain. No rain, no storm, just plenty of water for these soldiers to drink, just as God said he would provide. 21. Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them. So every man, young and old, who could bear arms was called up and stationed on the border. The Moabites drafted every man who could fight to defend its borders against these three kings and their armies. 22. When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water, and to the Moabites across the way, the water looked red, like blood. That's blood, they said. Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to the plunder Moab. Wow, they came to a hasty conclusion. The water looked red. It sounds as if it was the red sunrise reflecting on the water, and maybe the red clay, too, at the bottom of the water that filled the ditches added to it. And probably, you know, it was God simply causing that water to look like blood to them also, using natural things, but God really pushing them over the edge and causing them to believe this. Whatever the case may be, it was in God's plan, and the Moabites thought that the three kings had a civil war and their armies had killed each other. And so now they figure they're just, you know, on top of the world here. They've got a false sense of well-being. They're not going to have to fight. They just go down and pick up the plunder. Notice verse 24. But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. And so the Moabites were expecting just to pick up supplies. They were not expecting a fight. And so they were caught off guard and they were defeated. They wanted something to be true so bad that they failed to really investigate it to see if it was true. And it backfired on them. People cannot avoid truth by pretending it's not there. 25. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Ker Haraseth was left with its stones in place. But men armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it as well. The entire nation was turned into a wasteland, just as God said would happen. 26. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was or had gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through to the king of Edom, but they failed. And so the king of Moab, thinking that the army of Edom was probably the weakest link in this alliance, he tried to escape through them by using 700 of his swordsmen, but it didn't work either. So he's run out of options. The king of Moab is desperate. Verse 27. Then he took his firstborn son, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. The fury against Israel was great. They withdrew and returned to their own land. The king of Moab killed his own son, probably his firstborn, the one who was going to take over his throne after he died. This would be his most valuable possession, you might say. He killed his own son, can you believe it, to try to earn favor from his so-called God. And now you know why God was against the people of Moab. They did these sorts of detestable things. And it was such an outrageous thing that even the kings of Edom and Israel, along with Jehoshaphat, of course, were just outraged at it. And they backed off, and the battle ended. Next time, chapter 4. Until next time, so long, everyone.